welcome everyone to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this October 11, 2018. This is Peyman Mutahedeh, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program. And tonight's show, folks, will be about what happened to Bob Schultz and the We the People Foundation that he had going in the late 90s and early 2000 years to expose the fraud and scam of the federal income tax. Before I cover that topic, folks, I'm going to let you know that you're going to want to check out our website at livefreenow.org because there's a lot of great free information available there to educate you. And you should take advantage of that. A lot of your common questions that you want to know and need to know is already answered there. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't need to just call Freedom Law School, ask a question. You can listen to the previous weekly conference calls of Freedom Law School at our weekly calls link at livefreenow.org. Find the call that suits your interest. Listen to that call's recording. On our YouTube channel, you're going to find the same thing. And be sure to watch and then listen to the education material link of our website. Again, is there so much information. And why is this all important, folks? Because America is a very special country. Up until the late 1600s, it was very sparsely inhabited by a small number of American, Native American Indians. And when the European settlers came to America and made America the great country that it is now, the greatest empire on the face of the earth, the richest nation on the face of the earth ever, a place where opportunities abound. We have a large country. America is the second largest country in the world geographically, has overall the best soil, best natural resources, best variety of weather. We get the best technology from England coming to, and Europe coming to us. And yet, we have so many Americans that are living in poverty, folks, or sub-poverty, and struggling to stay, maintain a middle-class living because we are being robbed. We are being robbed by the income tax fraud and the money system fraud. In other words, every dollar in our system, folks, that is in your pocket and my pocket, is a dollar that the government or a corporation or individual borrowed from the big banks, money that the banks made out of thin air by fraud, and are charging interest on that fraudulent money creation credit. So America's $20 trillion economy, collectively, we all pay, even if you're paying 2% interest on that $20 trillion, that means that we're paying collectively, let's say as a nation, $400 billion to the banksters every year. Of course, we're paying a lot more than that. And because of that we are, most people are in debt to credit cards, paying 15, 20, 30% interest on their credit cards just to buy groceries, to put food on the table. And the income tax robs you further of your hard-earned income, your hard-earned work, your labor. It's been stolen, and then you're forced to borrow money from the banks because you have no money left, no savings. Most Americans live paycheck to paycheck. And America has been turned from the land of the free and the home of the brave to the land of the meek and the home of the indentured. And we need to get our country back. We need to return America to make a government of the people, by the people, and for we the people. That's what it was meant to be. We have now a government by the big banks and corporations, by their crooked politicians, their crooked leadership of Republican Democrat parties that they can give unlimited amounts of money, folks. That's right. Those two parties, their national committees can get hundreds of millions of dollars, unlimited, from richest people in the world to control those political parties from the top. And then you have their bureaucrats, their IRS management, their FBI management, their CIA, their NSA, their U.S. Department of Injustice, ruling America on behalf of their masters. That's why you had a criminal, crook, murderous like Hillary Clinton cheated Bernie Sanders out of being a Democratic nominee, totally cheated to him, bought off the election, bought off the Democratic Party, and conspired with FBI and U.S. Department of Injustice to make a phony thing against Donald Trump. That's still going on. Phony Russia conspiracy hoax, because these guys have done it to American people for decades. They got that arrogance to do it, go against a presidential candidate and a president. Done it to you, my friends. To millions of American people like you for decades, and gotten away with it because they got too much power. We got to get back. And they get that power with our money. With our money that they don't care. If it's legal or illegal, if they take it, they just want the money because that's the source of their euphoria, their power. So Freedom Law School is here to educate you as to this matrix of lies and the solutions for you to get out of these set of lies to find truth. Freedom, health, peace, justice, prosperity. That's right, folks. You could have all that if you truly seek the truth. And I hope you take advantage of all the information that Freedom Law School has available for you. So let's go and talk about our topic of Bob Schultz and We the People Foundation. By the way, Bob Schultz is still alive and well in New York, and I had the pleasure of meeting him back in the late 1990s. And he founded the We the People Foundation for constitutional education in New York. And the goal of his organization was to have the government follow the U.S. Constitution and state constitutions. He focused a lot in the early years, back in 1990s, on the New York State, because that's where he was from. Because they did many things wrong in that state that violated their own constitution. And what happened is that he came across Joe Bannister, who is a former gun-carrying special agent with the IRS's Criminal Investigation Division. Mr. Bannister, in 1997, on a talk radio program, heard about income tax fraud, looked into it, and called a radio show host, called Jeff Metcalf from the host. He got D.V. Kidd. From D.V. Kidd, who was a guest on that show, got to Bill Conklin. From Bill Conklin, he got to me. And from me, I helped him. I introduced him to other people in the movement, Bill Benson and many others in the freedom movement. I met with him, helped him print and distribute his book. that he wrote about income tax fraud that he gave to the IRS to refute. The IRS failed to refute his conclusions that the income tax is a fraud, is a scam on the American people. And then when Joe Bannister came and spoke publicly in an event at Freedom Law School's first Freedom Rally in March 1999, you know, he became a national figure. And Bob Schultz heard about Joe Bannister. And he thought, this is interesting. Here's a guy who used to pack heat, a gun and a badge. His job for 5 years was to put people in jail over income taxes and other so-called tax crimes. And he quit the IRS to expose the fact that the IRS is lying. The IRS could not show him the law that requires the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. That's an interesting thing. Well, why don't I have the U.S. government, you know, come and meet with this guy? And let's have an open debate on this issue. This should be an interesting conversation piece. Let's get this interesting issue to the foray, an open debate. I mean, after all, America is supposed to be an open society. We're not a secretive, dictatorial, oppressive government like much of the world has. We have the right to free speech, free press, free to assemble, with like-minded individuals, discuss problems with our governments, you know, wrong things they're doing, correct them. So let's bring this out in the open. And so that's where he got Joe Bannister on one of his talk show hosts. And he was had a radio program, by the way, Bob Schultz. And he had him on his radio program back in the early 1999. Now, folks, tonight also to tell you about Bob Schultz at the We the People Foundation, and many of you may have heard about and been involved with back in the early 2000 years about, I'm going to bring one of my best friends in this freedom movement, in this fight to restore freedom in America, to get rid of the income tax and the Federal Reserve, privately owned Federal Reserve system, restoring peace, freedom, and prosperity in America. This guest of mine is the most renowned, experienced legal researcher and freedom constitutional lawyer in America, bar none. And he was involved with We the People Foundation from those early stages in 1999, which I brought you up with. So I want to ask my friend Larry Meacraft to join me and tell you guys a little bit more about his experience from that time forward, before I ask some more about what happened to We the People Foundation from that point forward. So, Larry, thank you very much for joining me tonight. Would you tell our audience that how was it that We the People Foundation contacted you in early 1999 to have you go and debate the government, the U.S. government, on the legality of income tax issue with you, along with Joe Bannister and others?
Well, Joe came out about 1997. That's when he got fired. He was kind of
1990
prominent.
He got fired. 97.
Well, yeah. They released him, you know. He got
right.
Okay. But about the same time, Bob Schultz had run into a guy by the name of Thurston Bell. And Thurston Bell was promoting the 861 argument, and Bob had some radio shows. He lives in Queensbury, New York. And he's an activist. He's been fighting government corruption at the state level, getting involved in a lot of state lawsuits. You know, he's just digging out corruption. And then he ran across, you know, the people in the tax movement. He got introduced to the tax movement by Thurston Bell. So he started calling around and, you know, gee, this is a movement I didn't know anything about. You know, that was his position. So he found out, you know, about Bill Benson and Bill Conklin and, you know, Joe Bannister and, you know, Steve Hempling and you. And he started having these conferences at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. You know, what Bob wanted to do, you know, he had some people that would help pay for the cost of sponsoring these seminars. So I think we had about three at the National Press Club before 2000. What really got Bob kicked off was on the weekend before, or the days before, I think the 4th of July was on a weekend in 1999. Well, that the days before the 4th of July, Washington, D.C. is going to be completely silent about anything going on. You know, it's completely dead. And that's when Bob had his, conference at the National Press Club with a lot of people. Bill Benson, myself, Joe Bannister, people that were prominent in the tax movement, with the exception of Thurston Bell. Schultz and Thurston Bell soon had a falling out. But, C-SPAN was looking for something to show over its TV channels during that time, and there wasn't anything that was going on in Washington, D.C. So they decided to broadcast our meeting at the National Press Club, where we were talking about, various aspects of the federal income tax. Bill Benson talking about the non-ratification of the 16th Amendment, other speakers talking about their things, some people talking about the procedures. I think Vern Holland might have been there. But because C-SPAN was broadcasting us, that gave us a good bit of exposure. I even had one of my cousins call me up and said, "Hey, I saw you on C-SPAN," he was completely surprised by it. But that's what really got Bob Schultz a big kickoff. And so thereafter, his We the People Foundation, he just started doing more and more regarding the tax issue. He was
now,
frequently
if I may,
having...
If I may, Larry, I'd like to guide our students, Bobby. If you guys want to know about this, the debates a little bit, some of this material is on Freedom Law School's website. If you go on livefreenow.org, and then you go on to the link to the income tax reward, okay, on the education materials, go under income tax reward, you will see, as you scroll down after the video of Joe Bannister, the former House special agent, the one below that, you see it's a C-SPAN 2 on the bottom left of that screenshot, C-SPAN 2 with the picture of Joe Bannister with a yellowish background. That's the national debate on July 2nd, 1999 that Larry Bicraft is talking about. That was a historic debate that I'd like you to elaborate on that a little bit more if you could, Larry, for our friends. That you can see that, folks. That video is incredibly educational, in my opinion. So back to you, Larry.
Well, Payman, that's almost 20 years ago. I can remember the event, but I can't tell you who said what. And for that reason, I'm surprised that you still have that 20-year-old or almost 20-year-old presentation posted on the Internet.
Well, somebody had to preserve the history, Larry, so that's why I recognize the historical value, importance of what was being accomplished. And so let me add to that, folks, at that event, Bob Schultz hosted it, and the speakers were Dede Kitt, who didn't have much of a legal knowledge. She was just speaking from political aspects of it. But from a legal point of view, Larry Bicraft, Bill Conklin, Bill Benson, and Joe Bannister all gave very compelling presentations exposing the fraud of the income tax. And if I remember right, Larry, what happened the first day, you guys did it, and the government did not show up on the second day. You guys
the government wasn't invited to these. Schultz was just making a presentation to get interest in the tax issue. And so he decided to bring people to Washington, D.C. at the National Press Club to give exposure to an issue that at that time was fairly new to him, these people that are complaining about the application of the federal income tax. It's only later, that there was an invitation extended to, and I'm sure we'll get into that. You want me to cover that?
No, go ahead, Larry. You cover
okay.
it as you wish. Huh?
Well, Schultz had that first he had a couple of meetings before, but it's that July of 1999 C-SPAN broadcast of that meeting that really kicked him off. And that started, Schultz on down a path that was unique. You know, he had an organization called We the People. He had people that would help him with expenses. So periodically after that, you know, Schultz just started posting on the We the People website, you know, stories about the income tax, generating a lot of interest, you know, getting people to join his email list. He would send out a lot of email to bring people up to speed and educate them about the tax issues. But over the next, 2 years, 1999 through about 2001, you know, Schultz was just making a name for himself in the tax movement, attending meetings, doing some speaking and things of that nature. He was also having some periodically, once or twice a year, these conventions in Washington, D.C. Well, it finally got around to, in 2001, you know, Schultz was wanting to pose some questions to the government. And he got a congressman from Maryland, and I forgot the name of the congressman, but a congressman in Maryland made some promises to Bob Schultz that he'd try to get the Treasury Department to appear at a meeting where a bunch of people could ask questions related to the income tax from the Treasury officials and IRS officials. Well, eventually, by, say, like May and June of 2001, you know, this was falling into, it wasn't getting anywhere. So I think it was the latter part of June of 1991, Bob Schultz decided to go on a hunger strike.
In 2001.
So he went to Washington, D.C., and he, go ahead. Do you have a question, Payman?
No, I'm saying it was 2001. You said 1991. You meant 2001.
Well, Schultz was operating from 1991 through about 2001. You know, just building steam. In the summer of 2001 is when he went on the hunger strike.
Right.
And
right.
As a result of the hunger strike, you know, eventually the people in the Bush administration came around and said, okay, you know, to quit this guy from killing himself by means of a hunger strike, we'll agree to a meeting. So after that agreement was reached with the Treasury Department, the White House, and the IRS, thanks to the congressman from Maryland, Schultz went off his fast. And it was the first weekend in August of 2001, we had a meeting, you know, people that were, you know, knew something about the tax issues. We all assembled in Vegas. And Schultz had a hotel room, and we had a, you know, conference room lined up, and there were probably about 40 or 50 people that attended this meeting. And the purpose of that was to frame some questions that we could ask of, you know, the Treasury Department and the IRS, which Schultz had the idea that late September of 2001 would be a good time to have this meeting. And he was trying to line up the, it's the Daughters of the American Revolution. They have a convention hall, you know, pretty close to the White House. It's not on the mall, but, you know, it's kind of close to the Federal Reserve. But, you know, they had an older convention center, and Bob was trying to get that as a place for people that were going to ask questions of the IRS to show up, and the Treasury would show up, and the IRS would show up, and the people would have the opportunity to ask questions of these government officials. And Bob was going to broadcast it. You know, it was going to be broadcast over the Internet, and you could, you know, pay a fee and, you know, watch it over the Internet. Schultz was good at that. But as a result of this meeting we had in Vegas in early August of 2001, Schultz took a bunch of questions back, and he reached the conclusion, you know, hey, these questions are all over the place. And he started talking to me and Bob Bernhoff and Jeff Dickstein, you know, about how to frame better questions. And so on the weekend before 9/11, Bob Schultz, myself, Bob Bernhoff, and Jeff Dickstein, and Bob Raymond, we assembled at Bob Bernhoff's office in Milwaukee. And for about 2 days, we worked on what we were going to do about framing the questions. And I left from that meeting from Milwaukee on September the 10th, 2001. I flew back to Nashville. Then I drove home. Then the next day, there was a big event that happened in America, 9/11. Schultz had taken off on September the 10th. He flew from Milwaukee. He went out to Vegas to see Irwin Schiff. And Schultz got, you know, he wasn't able to return. He was there for about a week with Irwin Schiff. How would you like that, Payman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They
yeah.
held up with Irvin for
good
a week.
Good old late Irvin, yes. Uh-huh.
But ultimately, we were going to have, I think it was about September 24th to 25th, 26th. That was the kind of the idea about when we were going to have this meeting at the Daughters of the American Revolution Convention Center, you know, just off the mall in Washington, D.C. But then 9/11 happened, and all of our plans just went down the drain. You know, nobody was going to do anything in that atmosphere. Even though Schultz said, hey, let's keep on moving forward, it just was not the right time. Finally, Bartlett, that's the congressman from Maryland, Congressman Bartlett. By late 2001, Schultz had gotten back in touch with Congressman Bartlett. Jeff Dickstein, myself, and Bob Bernhoff, we framed 300 questions. The questions, you can go over to Bob Schultz's website and go back. You know, the way his page works, you got to work your way back into time. But, you know, you can download those questions that we framed, the 300 questions that we were going to pose to the Treasury and the IRS. Well, ultimately, by the early part of 2002, Schultz thought he was going to have a meeting with the Treasury officials, but finally Bartlett came back along and said, hey, no, you know, the Treasury Department, the White House, and the IRS, they don't want to have it. So Schultz decided to, you know, rent the Daughters of the American Revolution Convention Center, and in the first weekend in March of 2002, we had a convention at the DAR Convention Center in D.C. People came to watch questions posed by, I think Bob was asking the questions, but he had a number of people, including myself, that would be posed questions. In lieu of having the Treasury and the IRS answer the questions, you know, we did. And that lasted an entire day. And it was videotaped, and I think you can probably get from Bob Schultz those videos. Do you know anything about those videos, Payment?
Yes, of course. I remember them. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know whether people can get them or not, but, you know, that's what happened. Thereafter, if you want me to tell you about Schultz, you know, he had the We the People organization. It had a lot of people, probably 50 or 60,000 people were on his email list. And so Bob, you know, had to come up with something else to do, you know, to keep interest in the tax issue and to keep people supporting the We the People Foundation. So he toured the country. He even had a drive across America. He wanted to start in, I think, in San Francisco and drive all the way to D.C. And then as he was driving from the west to the east, he was hoping that a bunch of people would join him in this travelcade from the west coast to the east coast to Washington, D.C. I don't know how many people. I didn't do anything in that. But, you know, they had I have no idea, but he did that, and there were some participants. How many? I have no idea. But, you know, after the trip across America, you know, the next thing Schultz was going to do was he sent the questions to congressmen, the questions we wanted to propose to the IRS and the Treasury Department. He sent those to the congressmen, and that was ultimately leading up to a, you know, try to force the government to answer our written questions. That didn't happen, and ultimately Schultz was interested in filing a lawsuit, which in, I think, the summer of 2004, a lawsuit was filed in Washington, D.C., to force the government to answer, you know, the 300-plus or 400 questions that were developed for the Daughters of the American Revolution Convention back in March of 2002. Do you have any questions about all that, Payman?
Well, I want to add to what you said, Larry, in that...
Well,
I'm
going to continue. I kind of...
Well, let me backtrack.
Quickly went over that area.
Let me backtrack. You forgot to mention U.S. Today ad, which was a significant part of this picture.
Yeah.
And what happened, Larry, if you remember that, you know, back in the year 2000, Bob Bodine, who was a friend helper of Bob Schultz, and the debates of 1999 that you were involved in, and Joe Bannister... When the government didn't come up to the debates, they said, why don't we put an ad in a full-page ad in a national big paper like USA Today and expose all this? The government doesn't want to come and debate all, talk about this stuff, you know, publicly as it should. And Bob Schultz told by Mike, well, but who's going to fund it? And Mike says, well, I'll do it. He paid for the first $40,000 of the full ad. In USA Today, Bob Bodine used his own savings to fund that. And Bob was very thankful to Mike Bodine for that. And that was the ad that really just really broke what, you know, took what We the People did to a whole new level. Because, you know, in that USA Today, I remember, Larry, that Bob Schultz printed out that he was talking to a White House economic advisor named Jason Furman on behalf of the White House, and who told Bob Schultz that the legality of the income tax is not a high priority item at the White House. And we, meaning the White House, will not participate in any conference on the subject. And Bob put that in that ad, and I read that, and I thought, wow. Bob got the White House, the President of the United States office, Clinton White House, to actually admit that they don't care if they're taking American people's money illegally. It's all about the money. Legality, who cares? They got the power. They're going to rob the American people, steal like a bunch of crooks, criminal thief outlaws, and naturally, they don't want to publicize their own criminality, their own thievery and crookedness. They don't want to cover it up. That's why they don't want to come and debate anything in public. You know, so that being publicized, I think, made a big impact on a lot of people who were following these debates at the People Foundation to a whole new level, so that next year, Bob did fundraising and got more money raised and was able to pay in year 2001, early 2001, three ads in USA Today at $40,000 a piece, which again got further public attention to what Bob Schultz was doing, what the people was doing. And then what happened, that the fourth ad that was scheduled was not run by USA, because USA told Bob Schultz, well, sorry, no more ads for We the People Foundation, this nonprofit foundation, obviously because the pressure was put on USA from the IRS, the people in the power, you know, in the deep state, don't give these guys any publicity. And then that effort stopped there. And that then led, like you said, to the everything else about 9/11, later on that year that you were saying.
Well, no, Payman, the ads were run not before the questions were drafted. That happened sometime in 2002 and 2003.
Well, I remember the first one was in 2000. The next three were in 2001, early on, like in March.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I have those
okay.
ads. I'm saying Freedom Also is the only source that has those ads reprints available. And y'all can call Freedom Also, by the way. I'll mail it out to you at no charge. You can check out the reprint of those ads that were done. And then that led to, like you said, to the debate being scheduled later on that year, the hunger strike and all that stuff that you were saying, my friend. So continue.
Yeah. I didn't realize that the ads came out before the hunger strike. You know, I remember them, but I thought it was after we had the March of 2002 meeting in Washington, D.C. But in any event, you know, he did a lot of things like traveling across America on the motorcade, you know, visiting all the state capitals, trying to get his organization going. You know, all of these things led up to, you know, him sending out the questions to the congressman wouldn't answer the questions. So in the summer of 2004, you know, he had a protest in Washington, D.C. You know, I think they marched around the Treasury Department building and maybe the IRS building. And then they went down to the U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C. and filed this lawsuit. And so the lawsuit was what consumed, you know, from 2004 forward, you know, for several years, Bob was deeply involved in that lawsuit to compel the government to answer our written questions that had been sent to the congressman.
And I was there. I was one of those people that in D.C. went there. And in fact, I was one of the very few people who was able to meet with my congressman and serve him with a copy of our petition to the, our congressman that they must come and answer questions. The U.S. government, if it is a government of, by, and for the people, has a duty to come and answer our concerns about the government violating the Constitution, violating Americans' rights as secured by the Constitution, you know, in the spirit of the Declaration of Independence, as you were saying. Go ahead, Larry, huh?
Well, the constitutional basis for the lawsuit was the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. The history behind that is that citizens can ask questions of the government, get answers. And, you know, back in the early days of this republic, you know, there was a procedure for doing that. There was a procedure in Congress for Congress to fulfill its duty of, you know, responding to petitions for redress of grievances. And so the lawsuit was, you know, to enforce that constitutional right. To kind of summarize what happened with that lawsuit, you know, the district court dismissed it, said, you know, the government doesn't have to answer questions. That went up on appeal to the United States Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. And the D.C. Circuit also concluded, well, you have the right to ask questions, and you can't be punished for asking questions, but the government is under no constitutional or other requirement to answer the questions. And then, of course, Bob Shultz, I think he filed a petition with the United States Supreme Court to get the Supreme Court to take that, but, you know, nothing happened. So that brings us up to, you know, 2006, 2007 in reference to the lawsuit. But in the interim, do you want to talk about how you got how the IRS started coming after We the People?
Let me add something to that, Larry. In that area, one of the things that he did, Bob Shultz, is that he said not only are we going to, you know, take this to the court, but we must, all of us, stop, filing and paying income tax. There is no law, why should we people file income tax? So let's get a legal defense fund going on. Everybody pay $500, some reasonable low amount. Everybody gets in this fund, and so that if the government comes and attacks people, we can defend that. And he sent out the email again to over 100,000 people, and he got a few hundred people joining that. And I remember telling Bob, this is before he filed a lawsuit in the courts. I remember him telling him, Bob, that, you know, Bob, two things. First of all, that $500 that you one time you want to charge to people to fund his legal defense and to protect them from government IRS attacks is just not enough, because this kind of work is not easy, and not anybody coming off the high school can do it. It's complex. It takes training and intelligence and organization to write legal briefs and so forth, and you're not charging enough. But Bob did it anyhow, and then once he found out that, oh, that was not enough, he returned everybody's money. So that idea went away to provide support for people, because I told him that you should charge more, but you can bring people meaningful.
Well, he also didn't have any way of accomplishing that either, Pavin.
Right. Well, at that time, Bob, as you remember, Larry, he had, you know, again, he's not had worked with us. He was working with Linda Wall, a gal named Linda Wall.
Yeah.
And he had not worked with you and me and Dave Wellington, Sean O'Connor, some of the other more experienced, knowledgeable guys in the movement that he should have been working with, you know. And then the other thing I told him at that time is that I warned him that, look, going to the courts, unfortunately, is not going to work. The reason this income tax exists is in part because the crooked government-paid, government-biased judges are also a key part of the deep state. This income tax has been, fraudulently imposed on American people for many decades with the active participation, involvement, and support of the judges. They're not going to expose the fact that they've been involved in this corruption and exposing themselves in this crime. So rather than going to the courts, which, you know, are going to just, you know, they have a basically a judicial conspiracy to protect and preserve the income tax line of fraud, we got to continue the political fight, and we got to have people themselves continue to write the congressman about this issue, confront them about this issue, you know, and then they can stop filing and pay income tax, because now the IRS, if they want to put him in jail, they have a defense to take to the jury, and that is, I read the law. I studied the law. I followed this We the People Foundation, Joe Barrister, confrontation with the IRS and the government, and they cannot show us where Joe Barrister, We the People Foundation are wrong. They cannot show us where I'm required upon paying income tax. I wrote to all my three congressmen, myself personally, and none of them were able to refute me because they can't. And therefore, I must be right. And if the jury gets to see that, that jury is going to be educated, and naturally they would acquit that person because that person was shown to be actually the hero, not the criminal. And the criminal are the ones in the lawyers of government that are trying to put the man in jail. Now, folks, if you go to our website at the Education Materials, go down to the tab called Educate Congress. Click on the Educate Congress tab, folks. And this is what I was trying to get Bob Schultz to do way back in 2002, 3, and 4 days. I said, this is what you should do. Bob didn't listen to me. Guess what, folks? You can learn from Bob's mistakes. Okay, and do what he should have done, what you could do now. And this Educate Congress page material, listen to it, understand it, and listen to the Congress call there, and send this material to your congressman and confront them, because they all took an oath to God, just like President Donald Trump, to uphold and defend Americans' rights by upholding the U.S. Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. So that's something that you should do. That story is more, the documentation is further on that page, which you want to print out and get your congressman. So with that, my friend Larry, back to you, my friend.
Well, we've covered from 2004 forward. We've talked about the lawsuit briefly. You know, the next event that happened in, and this is where you probably want to talk more than I talk. The IRS didn't like what Bob Schultz was doing, giving too much public exposure to the income tax, you know, making them look bad. So they decided to, since Bob was operating as a tax-exempt organization, they decided to, you know, start steps forward to get rid of Bob's tax exemption. Well, Bob went on some trip that he was gone for a long period of time, and Mike Bodine was staying at Bob's house in Queensbury, New York. Well, while Bob was on the road, the IRS sent this certified mail to him. And he didn't get it, and that's the beginning of a process that Bob has been fighting ever since. Payman, I got a call from Bob back in May. And, you know, here we're going from 2004 and May of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
That is 14 years.
Hmm.
And Bob told me that, you know, he had this battle that he's been having with the IRS ever since. He was filing his brief, I think it was about mid-May of this year, and he was thinking that, you know, this all this problem that he's been battling with for 14 years was going to be solved. But, you know, that's what happened, you know. IRS sent some communications to Bob Schultz, I think it was about 2004, it might have been 2005, you know, attacking his tax exemption. Ultimately, that's exactly what they did, and Bob has been fighting them pro se, and I guess he's got had some lawyers, ever since. And the reason the IRS was wanting to revoke the tax-exempt status, a lot of it, maybe all of it, had to do with Bob Schultz's promotion. You know, he called this package to be used by employers to stop withholding. He called it the blue package or blue packet. And there's a lady in California by the name of Linda Wall that sent that package to Bob Schultz. She obviously talked to Bob Schultz and convinced Bob Schultz, oh, this is all you need to end withholding on employees by employers. And so when Bob would hit the road, you know, he would tell people and he would sell that blue package, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, here you had, I guarantee you it had no substance. And here you have Bob Schultz, you know, just taking the word of Linda Wall, oh, this is going to stop withholding. And I'm not going to say anything more than that, but it wouldn't, coming from that lady. And that's what got Bob Schultz into trouble. Now, you want to add a little more to what I've had to say?
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of issues that it could Schultz could have raised, you know, relating to the start of this process to revoke the tax exemption. And, you know, the issues that you are extremely familiar with could have been helpful for Bob. But, you know, there are some people who know it all.
Well, what happened with that whole battle that he's experiencing, you know, Larry, here's the thing. I offered Bob some education about how the IRS basic process on how they come after you to take your money works. I offered him my first course at no charge as my gift. The first course of Freedom Law School called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control, Level 1, which you can all see on our website under course packages. You know, double-click on that and go down to A Practical Road to Freedom. You see the table of contents of that. $300 course, 200-plus pages, 20 hours of audio education, an hour and a half of video, which I provide to everybody with a 100% unconditional 90-day money-back guarantee. Bob had it for free. I said, Bob, you need to listen to this course. There's so much important basic information you and everybody who turns 18 as an adult needs to know. You're dumped in a big, bad adult world. You don't know the basic stuff in high school civics class. They fail all of us by not teaching us. So do that, the stuff you should know. Well, Larry, Bob is not the first person that didn't heed my advice, that didn't take advantage of the education that's so affordable for him for free, and not listen to basic stuff there.
Yeah.
Because one of the key things that I teach in that course, Larry, okay, in the class on how to respond to IRS letters in class 5, as I tell everybody, is that, look, the IRS, when they want to come after you, there's a letter called a notice of deficiency. And I know almost none of you have probably heard of that term except through Freedom Law School. And that notice of deficiency is basically IRS's formal tax proposal letter the IRS must send to an individual or organization the IRS claims they may owe the IRS money. And by certified mail, they must send it to you. And then you have 90 days to go to tax court and challenge the IRS's claim. Otherwise, you owe the money. If you don't go to tax court, too bad, tough luck. You know, that's your problem, okay? So, and one of the key things about that is that that certified mail that they sent out to you, if they send it to you, your last address that you give the IRS in your letter to the IRS or on your 1040 tax form or put a change of address to the post office, you must get that, and you should challenge the IRS in court, because if you don't, then you could not challenge a tax without having to pay the tax in full and suing for a refund. Whether a tax is $1,000 or $10 million, some unreasonable amount, it doesn't matter. That is the person's only chance to challenge the tax without having to pay it, you know, first. You know, and, of course, now the collection due process law that took effect in 1999 and kind of softened that a little bit. But anyhow, Bob never knew about that. So when he left town, you know, he didn't tell Bob Bodine, who was staying at his house watching the house, say, hey, if I ever get a certified mail from the IRS, you should go sign for it and pick it up for me, because you never know. I mean, that's just something that we all should do, just in case ever, you know, the IRS sends a letter to you, certified, you should get it. It's not like regular lawsuits that you can ignore, avoid service of someone giving you a lawsuit paper. You can avoid that. But the IRS, you can. You have to accept that paper, otherwise you lose your chance to challenge the tax without paying it first. Well, Bob not having taken field law school's basic course, not knowing that. He didn't tell Mike Bodine that. So when the certified mail slip came to Bob's home, Mike Bodine, naturally as a respectable adult, thought, hey, that's not my business. I have no business signing for someone else, their mail, their document. You know, I'm not given permission to sign that paperwork, so he didn't sign it. And that certified mail envelope went back to the IRS as unclaimed. So Bob lost his chance to challenge the IRS's arbitrary, bogus claims that We the People Foundation is a profit-oriented organization, not a non-profit organization. He lost that chance. And later on, a few years down the road, when he was in the middle of a collection due process hearing, not at the beginning, but in throughout the, well, he was in tax court, then he calls me. Oh, hey, Mon, can you help me? Well, being a good patriot, want to help another patriot leader? Sure. I offered my friend my help to Bob Schultz at no charge. You know, all the stuff he sent me, you know, and I said, look, this is one issue we got to really address to the court, that it wasn't your fault what happened here, you know, say, and you should be allowed to challenge the tax, okay, at this stage, because the law does allow you, in fact, if you don't get the notice deficiency to challenge the tax anew. You know, but he didn't bring up the issue quite well enough, and the court was also, the tax court judge was a little extra crooked. And then on an appeal to the Court of Appeal, after he lost the tax court, didn't stay in touch with me. Did his own thing again, disappeared. And then Bob called me again about, maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, others told me about then trying to take his own personal property. Because they claim, well, the People Foundation owes us money. You didn't get to challenge it. You lost your chance to challenge it in the tax court back then when we sent out the notice of deficiency to you. You couldn't challenge it at the collection due process hearing as you wanted to. You lost that. So We the People Foundation owes the money. And now we say We the People Foundation is actually you. It's your alter ego. It's the same as Bob Schultz. It was your personal for-profit entity. You were the officer, everything in this entity, basically. So it was you. So you owe the money, and now we want to take all your property, your land, real estate. He had, I think, about 8 acres.
That's what's going on?
That's
what's
going on.
I had no idea. So
yeah.
they revoked his exemption. Now the We the People Foundation owes the tax, and now they're collecting it from him?
That's right. And
wow,
I
didn't know that.
Well, you wouldn't know that because, you know, if someone wants to be a lone wolf, if someone thinks they know it all, if someone thinks I don't need to get with anybody else, if someone thinks I don't have to pay anybody else to help me, I don't have to be part of any organization, I'm good, I'm smart, I know it all, and I found it for free on the internet or something, like a lot of patriots out there, well, that's what they get. Bob Schultz didn't, you know, at every chance he should have contacted me, you know, he didn't contact me. When he did, I was there available for him. And he's the one that didn't follow up to bring me to help him for free. I mean, because of his contribution to the movement, Larry, I felt obligated to do my patriotic duty and help him out, and I did. But, hey, I'm not going to beg him to have me help him out. You know, it's his thing. He should be coming to me, you know? So that's what's going on now. And, again, I gave him some advice. I said, look, in your case, I've solid case law, the burden of proof is on the IRS in this case. You can litigate this issue now, by the way, Bob. See, this is his third chance, Larry, that Bob could have gotten with Freedom Law School to help him. And I did tell him, and I said, look, you didn't get to challenge the tax back then at the notice deficiency stage or the collection process hearing stage at that time. Now that they're trying to take your property, you can challenge it, and the burden of proof is on them. It's all bogus. And guess what? I gave him some help, gave him some information. I didn't hear from Bob. So I don't know what's going on with him. And so, the message that I got for people there is that, again, folks, don't be a lone wolf like Bob Schultz. I love Bob. He's a friend of mine still. And I'm not talking behind his back, and I'm not telling you nothing. that I've not told Bob in his own on his own ear on the phone personally about let me help you, work with me. I told Bob Schultz the same thing, Larry, I told the late, great Urban Schiff. I told them both, hey, I've known the very best top people in the freedom movement, you know, my friends of mine, that we all want you to win, Urban. We all want you to win, Mr. Schiff, Mr. Schultz. I know people like Larry Bucraft, Sean Roncona, and Dave Wellington, Jeff Dickstein, and others. We all want to be on your corner despite our whatever differences we may have, because the win for you is the win for all of us. But they insist on doing their own thing, and they end up destroying themselves. Why? Because of some small, little technical errors. They got you by a glitch of Mike Bodin, not accepting the certified notice deficiency that was sent to Bob Schultz. You know, that, and then Bob Schultz not following up with further education, and that's where Bob Schultz is now, unfortunately, my friend. Larry, do you have anything else to add, my friend, for a word of wisdom for our listeners tonight about Bob Schultz?
Well, I think
story?
We've covered Bob Schultz. You know, you brought us up to speed. I didn't know the status of these proceedings against him.
If any of you listen to the call, a friend of Bob, tell him, hey, I am still love him, and I'm willing to help him, but he's got to call me. I'm not going to go chase him to try to help him out. I got a lot of other people who want my help. And I don't have enough time to help them, Sidney Malary. But we got to, and as the movement come together, Larry, I think it's very important that, folks, we got to work like the Founding Fathers, folks. The Founding Fathers of America, although it was Jefferson and Washington and Franklin and Patrick Henry, many others like them, but guess what? There was a lot of foot soldiers, okay? Yes, it's true that Larry Bucraft, Joe Bannister, Dave Wellington, Sean O'Connor, myself, and others are out there leading this effort in the movement right now. But guess what, folks? We need foot soldiers like you, just like George Washington needed foot soldiers. You know, we cannot do it by ourselves, folks. We are nobody by ourselves. A general could be a general only if he has an army to lead. And we need an army of you. The good, decent, hardworking, intelligent, patriotic, courageous Americans who, in the spirit of the Founding Fathers, are willing to put on the line and take our country back. I invite you to work with us. I invite you also to check out the website, the Larry Bucraft, myself, Dave Wellington, Sean O'Connor, and Joe Bannister found it called IncomeTaxRipoff.com, which is still in its infancy stages at this point in October 2018. And check it out. That's going to be a platform for all of us. We're going to be able to work together to expose and eradicate the federal income tax and this Federal Reserve banking system that we have to restore America to peace, freedom, and prosperity that we all deserve to have, that the Founding Fathers of America fought for. But I do want to share something else about Bob Schultz's story as a segue, as a comparison, Larry. And that is...
Well, I don't know if there's anything more that I know that I can cover.
Well, it's something I can cover, Larry. And I'd like to maybe add that if you
could. Well, I think we've covered it. You know, but, you know, the problem I see with Bob Schultz is, you know, he's independent. You know, it's difficult to tell him anything. And there are a lot of people like that.
And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being independent, Larry. We all should be independent.
I agree, but you know, when you get over to this stuff, it's specialized.
We got to be also interdependent and work with other independent individuals. Independent individuals working with other independent individuals, we all get to help each other become stronger, Larry. I think that's what you just want to say, right?
Well, yeah, but there's also a lot of people can't just have an interest in the tax issue. And then, oh man, I'm just going to do this, and then be along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in the tax issue, you got to pick up your share of the load and participate in the battle.
Yep. And folks, let me tell you about a contrast Bob Schultz's story with that of Drew Bannister a little bit, because that's also a learning lesson. Drew Bannister, as you know, he spoke at Freedom Law School's 1999 rally. He openly said, I remember his day is long, that I'm going to file for 1998 because my wife agreed to do that as my last time, but for 1999 and forward, I will not file and pay. I'm taking a stand publicly for the world and the IRS to know. Well, in 2004, the IRS got with the DOJ, the U.S. Department of Injustice, they got a grand jury to indict Drew Bannister along with a man named Al Thompson, a business owner in Northern California, for the charge of conspiracy to defraud the U.S. government. Now, Al Thompson was charged with many other things, but Drew Bannister was charged in his conspiracy charge. And the elements of that so-called crime were basically that Joe spoke at Al Thompson's company to his employee about his experiences with the IRS when he was with the IRS and afterwards. This is all on video, recorded on video camera, with the New York Times reporter, Mr. K. Johnson, reporting on it. And the other act of so-called conspiracy, Joe, was filling out some tax returns based upon the 861 argument for Al Thompson to get the money that he had paid to the IRS previously, get it back. And so Joe filled out those paperwork as the proper procedure the IRS calls for. And that was it. That's all they charged the acts of Joe Bannister. And now, at the trial, of course, it came out that, you know, writing those...
I think you're missing something here about what happened.
Good. Say your part, Larry. No, Al.
Okay. Al lived in Redding, California, and he was a manufacturer, and he had a lot of employees. And the employers, through Thurston Bell, were really up in arms over the real application of the employment taxes. You know, they were making the 861 argument, which is, you know, the sources within and without the United States, citizens, it's sources of income from without the United States. That's the 861 argument. Well, Thurston Bell was promoting that. Al Thompson and a bunch of other prominent employers got involved in it. And Joe was asked by Al Thompson to prepare some amended employment tax returns. And that's what Joe did. You know, Al asked him to take some older, you know, maybe a year old employment tax returns, amend it, and ask for the money back. That's what Joe and Al did. Now, when Joe was involved in this process, he had a meeting at Al's facility in Redding, California, and they videotaped it, where Joe was explaining, and they put it on the internet. You know, or I think they had intentions to. They didn't put it on the internet, but you know, they videotaped Joe's explanation of what they were doing. And David K. Johnson, a reporter from the New York Times, came and watched that video presentation where Joe's explaining, you know, how he thought the employment taxes operated and that they were seeking a refund. And that videotape was real, real important. But, you know, ultimately, Joe, after he files this, it's what the law requires. And Joe followed the legal requirements to the T. If you want to file an amended return, if you got an argument for seeking the money back, that's the way you do it. But nonetheless, you know, the government's irritated, and so they indict Joe and Al Thompson. Now, when the indictment came out, you know, here's some bad responses you can, you know, Al Thompson was just real, can I say it, Payman? You know, I think he was wild and crazy. And, you know, a lot of those employers were kind of wild and crazy. You know, it's the first battle that they get in involving the government, and they just run hog wild. Well, that's the way Al Thompson was. And then when he got indicted, you know, he finds out that he's been indicted. And, you know, the way that they arrested him is he was fleeing in his truck down the interstate with the cops tailing him as they were trying to arrest him. And the only way that they could stop Al from his flight from the law enforcement officers is they put out those spikes on the road that Al was traveling down. And that's the way they stopped Al. Now, you know, when the defendants had been arrested, you know, they had their first initial arraignment. You know, Al Thompson was listening to all of the gurus in the movement. You know, there's been a lot of gurus that have been around for a long period of time, and a lot of them just have a whole bunch of bad advice. But you better not tell a guru that he's got bad advice, he doesn't know what he's talking about, because they are real nasty, and they will punish you unmercifully. These people, they expect to be in complete control of the movement, and if you don't like it, boy, there's going to be a war. And that's the way that, you know, there were a lot of things back in the 2000s, 2003, 2004. That was the attitude of a lot of these people, and Al Thompson was listening to them. So Al goes for arraignment. He's not going to waive the Speedy Trial Act, and, you know, that's bad advice. You know, I haven't found a criminal tax case where trying to go to trial within 70 days is beneficial for the defendant. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, and you can't do it in 70 days. But no, Al Thompson's going to not waive the Speedy Trial Act, and he's going to represent himself pro se. And that's what he did. So Al Thompson went to trial before Joe, and he defended himself pro se and got convicted. Oh, well, Joe did the exact opposite. You know, he waived the Speedy Trial Act, and he got Bob Bernhoff and Jeff Dickstein to represent him. And, you know, ultimately when they went to trial, one of the things that was needed for the trial was a copy of the videotape where Joe was at Al's facility explaining, you know, what they were doing. And Joe remembered, you know, the gee, it was videotaped, and everybody's looking around for where's a copy of that videotape? And nobody could find it except I had a copy, and the only copy that was available for the defense was the one that I had. And the moral of that story is always keep your documents, keep your evidence. You know, on a little side note, I'd like to say this. You know, I know some people, I heard about this. I talked to these people one time. But when they got indicted for tax crimes, they went out in the backyard and burnt all of their letters.
Wow.
Is that smart, Payman?
Wow, nope, it's not.
But, you know, people get kind of wild and crazy, you know, when the pressure's put on. Al Thompson did that, and it didn't work for him, but Joe Bannister, he went to trial. Payman, you were there. That videotape of Joe giving his presentation to Al was real important, and it was so important and so good that the defense in Joe's case did not put Joe on the stand, and the jury came back and acquitted Joe. So that's what I've got to say about Joe's trial.
Yeah. And the jury came back, and we talked to two jurors afterwards, by the way. That video is available on YouTube if you want to check it out. Joe Bannister jurors, you know, talking. You can put it on YouTube. It'll come up. And two of those jurors that talked to us, and they maintained contact with Joe over the years, by the way. I understand those two. They said, look, when trial ended, we were shocked. We said, where's the evidence of the crime? We haven't seen Joe Bannister do anything wrong. You know, and Joe Bannister always is a guy that was thorough. He did his homework. When me, Bill Benson, and others told him to check this out, read this, he read it, he asked questions, and he did further homework on his own. As independent as Joe Bannister is, he's also intelligent enough to know that he needs the wisdom and experience of others to assist him, educate him, and help him rise from what he was to a higher place of understanding, knowledge, to win if he comes under attack. You know, I remember when Joe was attacked. I heard about the indictment, Larry, at midnight it was that night, and I said, wow, the IRS made a dumb mistake because I know Joe is going to win because I know Joe. I know Joe has done everything right. You know, and they're not going to be able to convict Joe, and it'll be a victory for him and the movement and the freedom movement. And sure enough, it sure was. And, you know, folks, you know what they did not charge Joe with? They never charged Joe Bannister with a so-called crime of not having filed and paid income tax when they indicted him in November 2004, even though Joe had not filed for year or paid income tax for 1999, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003. For 5 years in a row, Joe had openly not filed and paid income tax and confronted the IRS deep state about it, and the IRS did not dare charge Joe Bannister for the so-called crime of having not filed and paid income tax, even though Joe had the honor, Larry, or maybe on honor, of having been mentioned personally by the Commissioner of Internal Revenue Service, Mr. Everson. IRS charges over 2,000 Americans with tax crimes every year. How many of those over 2,000 people do you think, Larry, does the Commissioner of the IRS talk about him personally in a press release?
And Joe's probably the only party I've ever known that happened to.
That's the only one you ever heard about, right, Joe?
Yep.
Right, Larry? I mean, the only one. Yeah. They don't do that, folks. The Commission to Revenue is too busy to talk about any one particular criminal tax defendant, but it did talk about Joe Bannister. Why? Because Joe Bannister was and still is an institutional threat to that corrupt deep state IRS management and FBI, DOJ, CIA, NSA, that has been dragging this country down the gutter for a long time and robbing you into slavery. And so they knew if they charge Joe with not having filed and paid income tax, Joe would get to bring his whole story and tell it all to the jury. How he was an exemplary IRS special agent. You know, how he had put people in jail over taxes, four business owners in 5 years, how he got promotions and recognized as a good employee with no problems, and how he came across this income tax issue with Freedom Law School, Bill Benson, others. He learned about the income tax, confronted the IRS about it. IRS never answered his book, never replied to him when he was with them or after he left them repeatedly, and he gets to pretty much give a full-fledged presentation to those jurors that you should be having in the next week. You should be getting that presentation on your own, folks. Okay, if you go to Freedom Law School's website and read the, go down the education materials link, under that to income tax reward, read what's on the income tax reward page of Freedom Law School and the videos on that page, okay? And then go again on the income tax education material. Go to Educate Congress and read and watch material there. That is what Joe Bannister, we get to bring all of that to the jury and say, Bob Schultz and me and others try to get the government to come and debate us, but they never did. We must be right, obviously, because who is hiding? The truth doesn't need hiding. It's the lies that need the hiding. We want to talk. We want to put sunshine on all of everything we do. It's the deep state crooks in the U.S. Department of Injustice, IRS management, and the deep state crooked judges in black robe who are conspiring to attack Joe Bannister while they enslave you, the American people. And you know, those jurors, you better be sure. You know, after hearing that, with their jaws dropped, they would have only said, not only are we acquitting this man, we are celebrating that this man was born and is here to wake up and empower the American people to be free once again. Thank you. What are you doing? We want to join you. We want to join your efforts, you know, and that would have been a huge slap in the face of the IRS. And the IRS, knowing that, they didn't risk it. They didn't risk charging Joe Bannister without having filed and paid income tax. We don't want to go that far. We just want to put him in jail some other way. The best way we could come up with was to time with that loose cannon Al Thompson. Okay, let's give a shot at that, and that failed. And since then, folks, Joe Bannister still has not filed and paid income tax openly. It's been not close to 20 years now. IRS knows about it. They don't dare to come try to put him in jail. They don't dare. And, folks, you could be in the same position as Joe Bannister versus Bob Schultz. You have a choice to make. You want to be a lone wolf? You think you know it all? I don't need Freedom Law School. I don't need to read this material, education materials on the Freedom Law School website for free. I don't need to get with Freedom Law School's education material and Freedom Packages. Oh, I don't want to give anybody, I don't want to give anybody to join this Freedom Package. You know, I work hard for my money. I don't want to keep it all to myself. Well, you can do that. Like Bob Schultz. Like Urban Schiff. Like Al Thompson. I try to help him out too, by the way. You wouldn't listen. Or you can take a path of Joe Bannister and join hands with other like-minded freedom seekers. Folks, we have a proven track record at Freedom Law School, folks. You know, I surrounded myself with Larry B. Krabs and Sean O'Connor and Dave Billington, the smartest guys in the movement you can think of, Tom Cryer and others. You know, that's how I did it, folks. IRS doesn't try to put me in jail either because they know I'll tell the jury the whole truth and the jury will come to our side. And you want to be in the same position. So get this material, folks, and go our course package at Freedom Law School if you want. If you want to do it by yourself, you can do it there for free, but go to our course packages link on our website. And start with the beginner's freedom packager right there. It includes all the stuff you heard. All this material is included. All of it will be mailed for you to your congressman, all three of them, to confront them and educate them about all this. If you have an employee, we'll help you write your congressman about the withholding income tax issue, but relied upon the law as published by Congress. It's that material on our website. It's there on the education materials. Go How to Stop Income Tax Withholding. Read that page. Listen to the conference calls on that subject, but we'll do it for you if you like. And the bigger packages, the simple and royal freedom packages, have that and criminal legal defense fund, unlimited consultation and support, and writing letters for you in response if you want, folks. It's all there. Join hands with us so that together, folks, we could have you be free and have America be free. You have peace of mind. You do your part having your family, your children, and your grandchildren be free. Well, we work together on that. So with that, Larry, do you have any lasting comments to tell to our listeners before I have them ask their questions they have about the topic of the questions?
I don't have anything to add. You want to talk about anything else?
If you have any questions, folks, Larry, if you can stay on the call, you're welcome to stay. If you have to go, I totally understand, my friend.
I'll stay on for a few minutes.
I appreciate it, Larry. Folks, if you have any questions at this point, press 1 on your telephone keypad, and that will notify me that you have a question. Then I will call on you to get your question answered. However, to protect your privacy, remember that you should only give us your first name, no last name, because these calls are public and recorded, and any government or IRS agent could be get into a recording of this call and use it against you. So to protect your privacy, give me only your first name. You can even use a pseudonym if you like, your phony name. I don't care. As long as we help you. And others will learn from your question situation as well. I'm happy to help out. So, again, if you have any questions about any freedom issue, the IRS, state income tax agency, traffic tickets, zoning officials, bureaucrats of any kind, press 1 on your telephone keypad, and your question will be answered. Otherwise, folks, Larry and I will thank you for joining us tonight. Listen to our education. And we invite you to do this, folks. Be a part of the solution. Share this information with your family members first, your spouse, parents, children, cousins, relatives, then your friends, your best friend, and your coworkers. And the great place to start, folks, is to tell them about Freedom Law School's $300,000 income tax reward. Under education materials, the link is there. The $300,000 income tax reward, folks, is a two-minute video about that. You can send that video to your friends by email on your Facebook page and say, hey, there's $300,000 here, and I need your help. Collect it. Would you take a look at this for me and get back with me so to split the $300,000? I certainly could use the money. I would very much appreciate your help. And folks, some people will ignore it. Some people will not pay attention to it. But you better believe there are other people like you amongst your family members and friends who are open-minded and interested, and are looking for someone like you to tell them the truth. They knew something was wrong. They knew government corruption and deep state is more than the deep state attack in Donald Trump. They knew our rights are being systematically taken away, and we've been driven into poverty by the IRS, but they couldn't put their finger on it. And you help them do that, and you help them join us in our common goal to restore freedom in America in this second peaceful American Revolution. So do it, folks. Share that two-minute video with your friends. Give the link and have them join our conference calls, and I'll be happy to address their questions. So, folks, there's no more questions for the call tonight. Larry, thank you very much for joining me tonight. I very much appreciate your wisdom and experience of all these decades you served the American people and the freedom movement. Folks, thank you for being with me. I bid you good night, and I look forward to being with you again next Thursday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. Good night.